everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a Sip and Discuss episode. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hey, Leah.
Hi.
And Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hello.
Okay, midweek check-in. How's our reading week going? Okay, those were some faces.
I am rereading, and I'm reading Daisy Jane's, like, she's got some short, dirty novellas that I'm like, all right, let's do this.
I went down the dirty rabbit hole of the of that DNF series, that multi-author series that she was in. They are so funny. Like, and it was so great to see authors not take themselves so seriously. Like, they wrote them for the sheer purpose of PWP and to see how ridiculous they could be.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was perfect. It was perfect. Jenny, how is your reading week going? I mean, you're on break this week.
I am. So I have been lazy. And yeah, I just finished this book today.
Okay. Leah?
I mean, I have read Words.
Okay.
It's not going great. I'm in a really giant slump, and honestly, it's I mean, it happens, but
Kelly Fox's new book put me into a book slump because it was so good, and I was like, well, what the heck am I gonna read now? Like,
reading that next.
I haven't had that problem. Like, nothing's been so good. I'm in like hangover mode. Like, nothing has been good. And it's not that the books aren't good. I think it's just me.
Yeah.
I immediately texted Jenny and said, hi, can you ignore your children and your husband and all adult responsibilities and read this so I can talk to you? Thank you.
I read through Sarah Bale's latest release, and it was really good. I'm really loving The Secret Society.
That world is really cool, the way she has it like mapped out.
I'm really enjoying that. And then audiobook. Oh, I did a reread over the weekend of Lauren Rowe's Hero. And now I just want to read all of Lauren Rowe again. So special shout out. Our sponsor author for last Sunday's episode was Melanie Moreland. And I saw today that she made the USA Today bestselling list at 107 for My Favorite Boss. So
that's exciting.
Right?
Oh, I'm so excited for her.
It's such a cute book. If you haven't read it yet, you guys should absolutely be checking it out. But
also, two things about Melanie Moreland.
Okay.
One, she has like really good pens. So if you ever see her, do yourself a favor. If you're a pen snob like us, get her pens. And also, she is the sweetest, kindest human in the whole world. I just love her so much.
Same. I can't. Her and Karen, like,
oh, they're so
just
great.
The best. Them. But there, I mean, okay, I'm going to say this. There aren't many in Romancelandia that I'm like, oh, they're trolls. There's very few. We interact with some of the betters.
No, but she just really has a, and I think it's her Canadian accent and how she's just is so Canadian.
She is quintessential Canadian.
Like, yeah, she is Canadian, but she is honestly genuinely a nice person too. Like, it's not an act with that one.
Unless you don't read the epilogue.
Oh, right. Well, if you don't read the epilogue, the lady's going to kill you off.
Yeah.
In a book.
It's so funny that like all of the swag stickers like are all team epilogue stickers.
Her entire marketing campaign for the next 6 months is team epilogue, epilogue queen.
Like, I know, I love it.
Pushing
it makes me
all
giggle.
The epilogues because of my one terrible book habit.
I appreciate that she really leaned into it though, and I think that is like one of the funniest things.
Fair. So that is not the book we're reviewing on this episode, though.
It is not.
We're done with all of that. So let's talk about the book that we are here to talk about. So on this episode, we are talking about the Buzzing Book Club pick for September. So if you didn't know, Buzzing About Romance, our Patreon has a book club. And the Patreon members the previous month will pick and vote on the book. We take community suggestions for the authors. And then once we pick a book, we will then ask the author if, well, sometimes we do it both ways. One, we know the author in advance and they vote on what of that author's books they want to read. And then the author joins us for book club, or we pick the book and then we invite the author and sometimes they're able to join us. And so this last Saturday was our Buzzing About Romance Buzzing Book Club. And our pick for the month was author Daisy Jane. We, after her service to Romancelandia at Readers Take Denver, I think we as a community all thought, okay, this is somebody that that should be lifted up and shown. Like, this is an author that really cares about her readers.
Yeah, I agree.
So we invited Daisy to come join us, and the community voted, and they picked The Brazen One, and it is book two in the Wrench King series. I think that's the series. Yes. Okay. Yes. Who wants to tell us the things we need to know before we start talking about the book?
Okay. I can.
Go, Heather.
The release date was November 15th, 2022. The tropes are opposites attract, grumpy sunshine, small town, like a Snowden type force proximity, kinky, and it's interconnected standalones. The point of view is dual first person. The pop I had at, I'm looking in my 81, that, but that's not accurate in the sense of there were other acts before that, if that makes
they're
sense.
They're a little bit of voyeurism. They like to, they like the watching.
Yeah, they like to watch. If you did the audio is narrated by Daisy Jane and Ryan West, and it is available in Kindle Unlimited.
And the audiobook is Audible exclusive. I did forgot to write in, I do think this book needed some content warnings or content advisories.
That's, yes.
So I there agree. Is an eating disorder.
Yes.
There is off-page rape and sexual assault, suicide, grieving, depression, toxic parents, and blackmail. Would you say I got everything?
Grumpy sunshine trope, though. I don't feel like she was very sunshiny.
I feel like it's grumpy, grumpy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or she did black not cat. Somebody had said that in book club. Like, she was kind of a black cat. I don't know.
She kind of was a little bit of a black cat. Okay, so let's get into this. We're just going to jump right in. I will say I did listen to the audio. It was incredibly well done. The production quality is really well done. Daisy Jane does a really good job voicing her characters. I was impressed. I was a little concerned going in, but it ended up, it was very well done. So let's talk about...
Well, but then talking to her on Saturday, like, we learned she did the research and she did the work in order to do that. Right. So I appreciate how much, like, thought that she puts into every aspect of her books.
Yeah.
Because that was something that, like, we talked about a lot.
So let's start with Goldie. We'll just start with her because I think that she has the biggest character arc in this book.
Yeah.
She has the most to overcome, and she comes the farthest of the two of them, I feel like. And I think Black Cat does describe her, but I also think she is absolutely the quintessential unlikable heroine.
Yeah. I had a hard time with her.
She's toxic in her own brain and in her own self.
And she's not toxic to other people, which I appreciated.
Well, but she does say a lot of hurtful things, like, just off the cuff. And I think that's very much, like, the way she was raised.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it her friends, I mean, people call her out. And she, like, recognizes, like, ooh, I can see where that could have been taken wrong. But... you know, she's like, it didn't sound that way in my head, but it's like, that isn't really something you would say to somebody you care about.
Yeah.
Now, well, I'm saying, like, in the sense, it's never deliberate. Like, it's never deliberately, like, you know what I mean?
She's just like a broken filter, says all the quiet parts out loud. But she's, but she's not young in this book either.
No, no,
and
no.
I think that that was something I struggled with a little bit, because the lack of filter is something I could have forgiven in a younger character, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you've just gotten out of this toxic parenting relationship on your own for the first time as an adult trying to function in the world, like, I would have been a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah.
But she was in her 30s.
She's 37.
So, like, you're grown up now. I mean,
like, even at 27, like, I would have been a little more forgiving, because there are some 27-year-olds who are not, like, worldly yet, and they're still, like, not sure. But I think that was one of my hangups with her, is she's that old, like, and still is, like, clinging to the idea that, like, she needs to have her mom in her life, even though, like, she recognizes, like, she's a terrible human being. And people around her, like, Beck constantly is, like, saying, like, your mom is not good for you. And she doesn't change anything.
I think that's a lot harder to do than it seems, though, too. Mm-hmm. Like, growing up in a narcissistic household, yeah, like, you can't just cut that relationship. And I think she does try to. But she knows, like, if she doesn't answer the phone, like, her mom's going to take extreme measures.
Right. And there is some good mental health rep in this book. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, Goldie as a character is trying to deal with her trauma and her emotional shortcomings. Like, and I think that that was well done. But I saw in one review where they said, like, under the layers, she's just a ball of sunshine. I just never saw that insight. Yeah, I think she's a work in progress. And I think we're all works in progress, right? None of us are perfect sitting here. But I felt it a little difficult to connect with her, because I don't mind an unlikable heroine, because we typically see growth. At least they're soft and squishy for the hero, or they learn to start to say the right things. I don't ever feel like we made it to that point for her.
Mm-hmm. No,
she does not know how to be real. I think that's, like, because that's the advice he gives her for the interview: be real. And she has never been real,
yeah,
like, ever with anyone.
She's 100%.
Yeah.
So what are our thoughts on Atticus?
He's really grumpy.
He
is consistently grumpy in all three books.
I just like that he wasn't an asshole in his grumpiness, if that makes sense.
Right.
Often we did that episode a while ago where we talked about the intersection of asshole and grumpy, and where exactly, like, certain books fall in our Venn diagram that we did. Yeah. And I feel like for him, he truly is just a grouchy Gus. That's just who he is.
He's like gruff. Like, I think he's grumpy and he cares about people and he's gruff with his answers, but he still, like, supports people. Like,
but he's such a sweetheart with his parents. Like, he's still gruff with them, but you can definitely, there's a difference with the way he is with them versus the way he is with other people. Like, there's true affection there. And that's why he's, like, he doesn't come across as the asshole, because, like, he, like, you can feel those soft moments, but the grumpiness still stands. And so I think that's why, like, with his character, it works a lot better.
Yeah, he's not trying to make anybody else grumpy, or, like, he's not trying to piss everybody off.
He's just a grunting guy.
He's just grunting at people.
He is curmudgeon-y at 41 or however old he is. Like, he is the curmudgeon-y old man who is just going to be that way.
And I think he's absolutely one of those heroes that fights his attraction. I don't think he wants to risk being hurt. You know,
he doesn't want to risk anything. Like as like the story progresses and you learn like a lot of his backstory, like he does not want to have feelings for anybody but his parents because of like unfiltered guilt.
He had a very, 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 very dirty mouth.
Oh yeah.
Like, dirty talk was 10 out of 10, top-notch dirty talk.
Yeah, he's he's got a really nice dirty mouth.
Yeah,
And
Hobie's
there's
not
not even
kissing his
things
mom with
that
that
come out
dirty
of
mouth.
it.
Okay, so
Sometimes it's the things that go in.
I have to bring this up because this bothered me a little bit. Goldie would make comments constantly about how dirty he was and how he smelled and, like stuff
I
like
had issue
that.
with that.
And I'm like, okay.
I have a theory on this.
Bugged me a lot because he's a
Me too.
mechanic, he's a blue-collar guy, but then, and we'll get to what happens later. She had a problem with that.
Right?
I'm like, I'll take a smelly man. Anyway, what's your theory on this, Jenny?
Because at the beginning, like, she's really like, ew, he stinks, blah, blah, blah. I really think, like, she didn't allow herself to be attracted to that smell because it wasn't okay with her, like, upbringing, her past. Like,
Like he
she's
wasn't good
always.
enough.
Yeah, she's always put on this front that, like, everything's gonna be, I don't know, high end, and that's not a high
How she was
end
raised.
smell. So I think she's battling that, like, ingrained, brainwashed, like,
So in a situation, if that was it, if
bias.
it was that, if it was the it would if it was, past trauma to real life applications, some internal monologue might have helped us with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and I know that she wrote this book back in 2022. She's got many more books under her belt since then. So this is, I think that in the scheme of things, this might have been like her fourth or fifth book. It wasn't, very far into her career. But I just felt like Daisy's one of those characters that.
Goldie.
Or
Goldie.
Goldie. I felt like Goldie was one of those characters that Daisy needed to give us more insight. We needed, you needed to show and tell everything. Especially because she's carrying so much baggage. And then we sit here.
She has trunk loads.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
Trunk
girl is over her
loads.
capacity on that flight.
She
She,
has to
they're
pay
saying
the
no more.
extra. She's paying the
And
extra fee for that baggage.
she really didn't feel like she was interested in tackling her trauma. She kind of felt good just sitting in it and not, and kind of wallowing, not picking herself up.
Well, it's
And
almost like she didn't recognize her trauma as trauma.
yeah, because she didn't. Her ex was the literal worst. Like, I thought her
It
mom was
was
bad because I hate her mom, but oh,
kind of. Yeah, I
he
was like,
needs.
her mom's pretty bad too. Like,
But he's the worst.
yeah,
He
they're
was the
not,
worst.
neither one of them are great.
But I will say, it would
Yeah.
like he took care of business.
Right.
Atticus did not falter when he decided that things were going to change and they were going to change for the good. He beat the shit out of him
Yeah. No, it
more
was
than
worth
well
it.
deserved.
Okay, so before we go in and talk about the kink, I feel like the perfect segue. Is there any other character development things you guys want to talk about between Atticus and Goldie?
For as much as Goldie's mom sucked, Atticus's mom was the best.
Oh.
She was wonderful. And I liked her dad a lot too. His dad a lot too. Not her dad. She doesn't have a dad. But I mean, she has a dad, but we don't. It's a moot point. But I liked his parents as a whole.
I did too, a
Well,
lot.
and his interactions with his parents were just so great. They were so great. I really did enjoy those.
And they were
They
written
were,
very well.
yeah, they were genuine. Like, it's not all lovey-dovey. It's like, why are you putting freaking sweet potatoes in the garbage or the dishwasher?
Dishwasher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the cucumber scene.
Do we have to?
Well, I just, okay. I really need it to stop. The food and orifices, okay. But the food and orifices and then we eat it, I vomit. And it really does make me want to just DNF right there and be done. Well,
and that one was even worse.
It was like, you all got E. coli. Like, you didn't wash the dang.
It was bad.
And then you
it was real bad.
Didn't wash it again.
Yeah.
But then ate it all.
After it's been...
So I'm pretty like open-minded. I feel like I'm probably the least critical of this whole crew. I mean, Amanda and I, we're pretty much like, meh, we can get over pretty much everything. That I was like, we can't do this anymore. We no more cucumbers in sex scenes. It's can gross. We agree?
Well, I mean, if you're going to use it, that's one thing, but clean it and then
no.
Dispose of it.
If it went places, you can't even put that in the composter because you are not supposed to put anything that's like...
Why would you put it in the composter or just put it in the trash?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like I was going to say, you can't even compost that. It's shit. You can't compost it. It needs to go into trash.
So but the
my
other
point
piece...
is like, like if it's all you have, that's one thing.
I mean, I'm sure there's a toy out there that replicates.
I'm sure he had five of
where
these.
Where do you think that like started? I'm sure that back in the olden days, they only had cucumbers to use. But my thing is,
again,
it was very
Leah,
unsanitary.
It's
on
not
both
the
ends.
Only thing he had. He had 10 of these fingers.
Yeah.
Fingers.
But he was like this
had
weird.
Something else
he needed
that
to
is
watch.
Like designed for that.
Right?
Yeah.
But cucumber doesn't have a flared base.
I don't like it. Like, if they're licking it off of them, like, that's one thing, but...
It's like not, the EMS
no, like,
guy.
The,
yeah.
The cream or something.
We don't want to meet like this.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what's going to happen if you keep doing that.
It could, like, easily break off.
Oh, it does. All the time.
So, like, that's the thing. I mean, it's
and
just...
how much laxative would you have to eat in order to get that to push back out without medical intervention?
Well, I mean, people are different on their approaches on trying to get it out. I mean,
people put all sorts of weird things up there. Jenny's husband would know.
Because he works in a hospital in the ER.
Yeah,
can we?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to add that.
Leah just drops the line, and Jenny's husband would know. I hope this
quote.
Isn't your first episode
yes,
with
please.
Us, or that was really awkward.
Because, like, when I said, well, whenever I see anybody going to the ER with something in their hoo-ha or their butt, and I just send it to Jenny and think about Jeremy, and everyone's like, you're going to need to put in that context. And I'm like, I mean, because he works in the emergency room.
Right. I mean, poor Jeremy.
I forget that not everybody that tunes in, like, listens to us regularly.
Right. Some people, this could be their first episode. And also,
and they're like, is this your first episode?
They're like, wow.
Welcome. Jenny's husband, Jeremy,
chaos,
is
we're
quite...
out. We're not. We can't do this. But, okay.
We warn people.
Yeah. I just, and it gets.
I had a hard time with that one.
It gets.
A real hard time.
Gross. Like. I've had to leave some reader groups. Like, I recently, there was a Helena Hunting book that had it in it. I cannot follow her reader group anymore because people are constantly posting things about pickles and cucumbers and they think it's hilarious. Or I was in the grocery store and I just had thoughts about this cucumber. And
ew.
It's just an English cucumber, and I just want to point out that an English cucumber is a lot different than, like, a regular cucumber. Like,
it is, but it's still gross.
It's totally
it's still
gross,
a cucumber.
But it's...
They're thinner and longer.
Welcome,
just friends. Don't put food.
Food does not belong in your butthole.
But anyway, so moving past the cucumber, okay. But they did like the voyeurism like aspect.
Oh, there was a lot of voyeurism kink.
Nice.
She's a squirter.
She is a squirter.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I found it funny that like at 37 she didn't know what squirting was.
Yeah, well, but I mean, her ex was kind of douchey, so you know.
But
I guess he was.
still, do you not have like conversations or read books? Like,
I think that our kink knowledge is probably like 12 times more than the average bear. Like, if you talk to a normal person and you said, "Hey, what do you know about squirting?" they might think you're talking about squirt the soda or a gun.
I mean, I do
people
like
will
squirt
look
the
at me.
soda.
It doesn't shock me that she doesn't, because I guarantee if I went to a hockey game and sat with some of my hockey moms, I'd be like, "Hey, so tell me, what do you think squirting is?" They'd be like, and then there would be like one or two moms who would be like, "What?" But then there would be a couple others who'd be like, "I don't know."
Yeah. I think that you have to remember our knowledge of this, especially for people outside sex therapy, the porn industry, our knowledge is a little more skewed than the average bear.
This is true, but then I think of like some moms that I'm around a lot, like some like other moms and like friends, like they definitely would know these things. And so I don't know,
I
maybe
mean,
it's just
well,
my small town
Leah
bubble,
just,
but
yeah, just keeps company that's.
I mean, I'm friends with you guys, so
You don't tell anybody else. Like,
don't need I
you don't
say
like
more?
broadcast it.
The blowjob in the car.
Yes. Okay. Can we talk about the voyeurism? Because for someone that like has possible blackmail against them, like she was very open to doing this stuff in places where it could also be used against her.
I will say
That,
there was like
yeah.
a comfort level with Atticus that she felt, where I feel like when she like gave in to that, like her inhibitions like just went out the window, 'cause like she felt safe with him on a level that she'd never had. And like that, like if you really any BDSM like book with any, like any kink book really, like the trust and the safety is a huge factor in those. And so I think that was really like a smart move on Daisy Jane's part. Like the fact that like the blackmail aspect was there, but there was this safety and feeling as well. So she didn't like, there was no harboring like any thought that like if I do this with him, it's going to have a negative effect on anything.
And I'm sure that I'm probably the only one that thinks this. I wish the sex scene had been sooner because I feel
I do
like the
too.
last 100 pages of the book,
There was a lot of story.
we didn't need them. I was fast flipping.
It was too long for me.
100 pages too long.
Yeah, and it, I'm, maybe it's just me, but it didn't move fast for me.
I had a hard time with it.
Yeah, I felt like I was kind of like shifting gears.
Yeah.
And I did skip some stuff because as one does when they need to read the book. Yeah, and I don't feel like when I even skip stuff, like I didn't skip anything pertinent. Because like I like skimmed as I skipped. And so it was, but yeah, I feel like she could have pulled a good chunk and we would not have felt any different about it.
I don't
For
disagree with it.
reference, there's 25 chapters, an epilogue, so it's about 400 pages
Yeah.
for people. It's
And I
long.
mean, we, and I've said this multiple times on the podcast, I think 300 to 350 is kind of my
Sweet spot.
sweet spot for a book. You know, when we start getting over 350, particularly when there's no third act breakup and there's not a lot of like intense moments in the end, it just starts to feel like page filler. And I did not read this epilogue because
You didn't need it.
I didn't need it.
It
Like, I
made me
felt they were
grumpy,
fine.
actually.
What?
It made me
Really?
grumpy. Well, because so a big part of his story was like telling his parents.
Oh, and we don't get to
And
see
3 years
that yet.
later, he still has not told his parents. And like, we don't ever get that moment. And I felt like that was like a really important part of the story. And I wanted like that conversation to happen. And so, like, I was really kind of mad at the end of the book that one, like, 3 years had passed and he still hadn't told them, and two, like, we didn't get him telling them.
I will say, I think this classifies as a childless HEA when you say, but I also felt like Goldie was, I felt like her feelings, like kind of being wishy-washy and changing, like, because she apparently, and I didn't read book one, but she apparently has been very clear always, she doesn't want children. But then she had some moments like, well, if you really want them, maybe I do too. Do you know what I mean? Like there was a little bit of wishy-washiness with her, which I think is genuine as a woman. Like I think we all have that moment. I mean, I had two children. Did I have a moment where like, oh, am I done? Do I want a third? And then one of my children talked and I was like, no, I don't. But there were moments. I mean, you
Gotta
know.
have four to make it
Yeah, well, no, I would have been
even.
no. I really would like, you know.
I think the stance on it, I understand her thought process, but I didn't feel like her reasoning for having not having kids was strong enough.
I
Like,
would agree.
she wasn't like,
Felt
there
reactionary.
wasn't like, yes,
Yeah.
like it was almost,
Because being t a toxic parent isn't genetic.
no, it's
No.
not. And I think that is like my hang up and like why the wishy-washy kind of bothered me also. 'Cause like, if you're just like, you decide you don't want to have kids, have at it. If you don't want children, like that is your choice. You do, like, your choice is your choice. But like, I want you to have valid reasons for not wanting a kid at the same time. It's like,
Yeah.
yes, it's your reason, but like, I didn't think that
Well,
her
and
reasoning
she,
was
like,
sound.
we don't see her get, you know, to that point where she understands completely that, like, she's not going to become her mother, so.
She was an only child, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I think she definitely read like an only child. And maybe that's my teacher brain, because
No, I see that.
you can put a kid
Okay.
in, you can totally tell.
Yeah. Is there anything else about this book anybody wants to talk about before we do our next piece? No? Okay. So, first up, thumbs up, thumbs down. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm like sideways
This book was
going
outside your
towards it.
comfort zone.
It was. I
Yeah.
would not pick this up on my own. I didn't mind it, but it's not a book I would like recommend to people.
Sure.
And I'll read more of her.
Yeah. Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm a sideways also, because I enjoy Daisy Jane's writing style, but I didn't love like the characters of this book.
Yeah.
And I think had I picked up had we had a different book, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more. But they're just, I didn't love either one of these characters or the way their story played out.
Yeah.
But I would read her again, and I definitely would recommend her as an author, because I think that like her writing is strong, but
Well, I
I
think her
just,
writing's
not
gone.
this
I think
book.
her kink positivity is great. I actually think that her kink is a little bit more developed and a little better well done than Sarah Kate's. You know, I felt like her kink fell in line with what I'm used to from like Stacey Kennedy or Golden Angel or something. Like, I felt like
Just like the
was well researched, well done. But yeah, I
Just
understand
the
what you're saying.
care that went into like the
Yeah.
research for the book and the writing of the book. Like, I think that's really smart the way she did it. But had I read this book and not talked to her, I probably would have a different reaction
Yeah.
also.
What do you think, Heather? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumb sideways?
I'm a sideways, and I think I have read this whole series, and so this was the last book in the series.
No, this is the
No,
second.
there's one
The
more.
last
But
is
this
the
the fin
is the
book.
last book I read
Oh,
in
okay.
this series, and it was my least favorite.
Yeah.
I really actually, same thing. I like the kink positivity. I really enjoy Daisy Jane's writing, but I didn't love these characters.
Yeah,
She's got other better books out there.
I also am thumb sideways, and I think that the third book in this series, which is her femdom book, is I did read that one, and it is way better, more, you know,
Is that
like,
Miller's book? Is that the next one?
think so. Yes.
Because his story is intriguing to me.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I love a femdom, and I don't think we get enough femdom romances. And I really enjoyed that one. So I think the characters, I like, again, like Yulia, I liked the writing. I liked the sex positivity. I liked the care in which she wrote the kinks. It didn't feel like just somebody trying to make kink up, or like it felt well thought out. I just struggled with these characters. And I don't mind an unlikable hero. I mean, I'm still absolutely in love with, you know, Angelina M. Lopez's After Hours in Milagro Street, her heroine, and Natalie Kenya's hero. I mean, I love an unlikable heroine. I just felt like Goldie, I just didn't get enough to find
what I could like. Well, and I still didn't know if I liked her at the end of the book. Like, if I had, there's an unlikable heroine, like, I can dislike them at the beginning of the book, but I really need to like them by the end of it. And I don't, I still have mixed feelings about her.
So if you liked this book, or you liked the kink positivity in this book, or you liked The Grumpy Sunshine, what are some books that people should try? So I just went with kink, and I'll say Savage Little Games by Lane Hart. Felt like that was really well done kink. I think Jill Ramsauer, Ruthless Salvation, does it really well. M.L. Philpott does it also very well. If you like The Voyeur, The Tease by Lauren Blakely is really well done. Does anybody else have any books? Oh, Sarah Bale. I think if you like, if you want sexy books with good stories and developed characters, check out Sarah Bale, because she does a ton of great kinks also.
And Amanda Richardson.
Oh, yeah. Anybody else?
Samantha Cole in her Trident series, she has a couple of femdoms. Mistress, I can't think of what her book's name is, but Mistress China is the femdom, like, and she's like a whip expert and all that stuff. But like that series, there's a couple throughout the book or throughout the series. And I don't think Lexi has any femdoms in hers, but they're very BDSM, like kink positive, like the care and like safety of the dominant relationship there.
Golden Angel.
She
has a whole bunch of femdoms too, doesn't she? She has a whole series of them, doesn't she?
That Samantha Cole is, I think, a very underrated author, in my opinion.
I agree.
Daisy Jane actually has a femdom romance. It's called Stray, and it's super emotional. It's a single mom, and he was wounded. He doesn't feel very comfortable about himself, so that's very well done. And then the book three is, it's called With Force, and it is it's a kinky book, and it is very, very well done. Both of them, they're not fast reads though. So,
okay. Make sure you come back and join us on Sunday. I will be joined by Lori from What to Read Next podcast. We are going to talk about the romance genre versus books that are genre fiction with romantic elements, that would not be romance. Why you need the HEA. I feel like it cycles about every 10 days over on Threads, and I felt like we needed to talk about that.
Yeah.
Again? How do people not know this by now?
I don't know. Well, it's some of these authors that, and J.T. Geisinger did it. She, you know, very clearly was like, I wrote a book and it's romance with a twist. Well, no, you wrote genre fiction with romantic elements. And you'll notice that she quickly changed the marketing on that book, that it wasn't classified romance.
Yeah.
Because it was crazy time. It was absolute crazy time. But there are tons of authors that they want the romance money. They want the romance pull. They want to say, hey, I wrote a romance, but then they want to do it with a twist. And actually, there was a historical romance that Evie Dunmore did, where the woman gets married. It's like her distinguished Gentle Lady series or something like that. In the book, in the last like 20%, she divorces the hero and moves to France without him.
And that's it?
That's it. That's the HEA. She picked herself. Not a romance. So there are so many books that do this, and it's because they want, you know, they think, you know, romance.
They want a piece of that $1 billion.
They want a piece of the $1 billion. And it's fine. And, you know, it's the same way we all cringe when we talk about the devil himself.
Yeah.
You know, his publisher categorizes him as romance. He is not. And he said he's not. So anyway, we'll talk about that on Sunday. And then we're back next Wednesday with our Out of the World selections for October. You guys are pushing me so far out of my comfort zone in October.
You do it to us. We need to do it to you too.
What is Wednesday again?
Next Wednesday is Feral Sins by Susan Wright. It is Paranormal Shifter, and it's one of those books that Amanda refuses to accept criticism on.
And oh, yeah. It's a read-listen.
It is a read-listen in Kindle Unlimited. So,
yeah.
For a list of books talked about on this episode, please visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can find the current list of books for upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website. And don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. Hey, if you loved this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and share this with your friends. Your support helps us bring more exciting content to you every week. And I don't have to fire everyone.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't have to quit if they keep supporting us.
Oh, I was like, you're going to fire us?
No.
You'd have to pay us to fire
us. I'd have to pay you to fire you. I did kind of fire you over the last couple weeks, though. I gave everybody
an... You like, basically just gave us a mandatory hiatus.
I gave everybody a timeout. That's what
you
Sydney
said. Yeah. Everyone, get your poop in a group. Get it together, ladies.
Sydney said the other day, she's like, where's everybody been? I said, I put them in time out. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Our kids need to get their acts together and let us do our fun things and not let it all be about them.
Stinking children playing soccer.
My kids, it was my mental headspace was not good. Well,
Leah kind of fell off the planet for a minute.
I did.
Anyway, thanks everyone for hanging out and reading The Brazen One by Daisy Jane. Appreciate you all. Mm-hmm. If you want information about our book club, you can send us a DM or check out our website. Join us on Patreon. You'll find all the information over there. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.